Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dave Wunstead, Bears head coach for six seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
When he hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank
next
you very
question.
Much.
Dave Wunstead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Coach Wunstead, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yes, everything is real good. You know, I'm kind of excited about the Ben Johnson hire, to see, as everybody is, to see see how this unfolds, and give the Bears a lot of credit, you know, give Ryan Poles some credit, and obviously Kevin Warren for pushing the envelope, I think, with George and Mrs. McCaskey. So, you know, this doesn't happen, you know, and I know the Bears organization and how it works as well as anybody, obviously, and this doesn't, this is not a one-person decision at that organization. And they still, because of the traditions and the history, it goes through the channels, and I think that that you got to give everybody a little pat on the back.
Dave, I think like many of us, you expected the Bears perhaps to be in a position to hire Mike McCarthy. He was a higher floor guy, and frankly, maybe it was because we doubted the Bears' ability to land Ben Johnson. So what was your level of surprise yesterday based on when you heard the news and how this all unfolded?
Well, I was surprised, you know, but you know what? The first thought that came to my mind is I got to get to know this guy a little bit because that he's a smart guy. You know, if you were just going to be influenced, Tom Brady, you can bring a guy that can be your personnel guy. You can be catered to by Tom Brady. You take the Vegas job. But let's think about this for a minute, guys. You know, he sat back and he said, wait a minute. I don't have a quarterback out there. Maybe I don't like the quarterback you're coming out in the draft. I don't know this. I'm just saying. And he's saying, it's Bears' job. I have an opportunity to, obviously, with Caleb Williams and the foundation of the team, that they got skill guys and they got players on defense. I'm going to go where I have the best chance to be successful. And I think a lot of coaches would have gone to Vegas with Tom Brady and buddies with the GM and on and on and on. But I'm going to give Ben credit for this. I like that about him without even ever meeting the guy or talking to him.
Yeah, you know, listen, it is a it's an excellent hire. I was surprised because I heard over the weekend that they were going to offer him the opportunity to hire his own personnel guy in Vegas, and you know, you kind of got this feel that meant a lot to him, and he was going to be able to do that elsewhere. And I honestly wasn't sure the Bears were still in the mix, and the idea that they not only got him, but they got him on Monday, they got him immediately, was frankly just surprising. And it means that they wanted him, they went after him, they paid him, they're getting him the staff that he has apparently been talking to. It just, there's a lot of positives out of it, Dave, that maybe we weren't anticipating, especially when, what did they get to, 17 interviews, and you kept feeling like they were interviewing so many people, you weren't sure what they wanted, but they got the guy that can help the quarterback.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, and let's think about this, too. Give, you know, I mentioned, it's probably Kevin Warren that's pushing George and Mrs. McCaskey as far as the money, okay?
Yep.
But also, Ryan Poles, let's give him some credit here, not just for getting him signed, okay, with the money, because I think this thing's more to it. If I'm Ben Johnson, I'm sitting down, and we don't know this, and we don't need to know. It's not important, because we got it worked out. But I wouldn't be surprised if he sat there and looked Ryan Poles in the eye and say, listen, I want to be able to control how many running backs I keep, and I want to be able to control how many offensive linemen we keep and how many are active. Where do we stand? What can be? And I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Poles, if it wasn't a give and take, and Ryan knows that his job's on the line, and I'm going to give him credit. It's not a situation people are going to come out and say, oh, Ryan Poles gave in to this. And no. It's a matter of doing what you got to do, what's best for the organization to make it work. So let's give Ryan Poles some credit. And I don't know what happened, but I, you know, knowing that he wanted to take a GM with him, that was not smokescreen. So let's back up and say he just maybe wanted the roster. How are we going to work the draft? How are we going to work free agency? You know, so there was definitely a give and take with stuff that I'm sure Flus and a lot of these other guys, they were happy to have the job. They would have never argued for any, not argued, but they would have never voiced a strong opinion of, hey, I got to have it this way for my system and my plan to work. So there was a give and take there. I'm sure there was. And hats off to Ryan Poles for that also, really.
And frankly, it may not be Ryan Poles you're giving credit to. It might be Kevin Warren if he gave Ben Johnson the autonomy to have the kind of say in those roster decisions. And it was an understanding that if he came to the Bears with or without his own front office executive, he would have the kind of input that you just described, Dave. So that may have made the job more appealing. And whether that maybe it limits the scope of your general manager's power, whatever was necessary to get Ben Johnson to Hallis Hall, the Bears, whether it was Poles or Warren, they were willing to do.
It could have been. And, you know, I think the point, though, David, is I don't really care. Bears fans shouldn't care. We got the guy we wanted. It was this top guy out there. Let's be happy with that, and they'll figure it out. You know, when you win, when you have success, there's enough for everybody. We used to talk about that going back to our University of Miami days. Hey, guys, everybody do their deal. We got to give and take. But when the team wins, guess what? We all win. And I think that's the theme right now that the Bears should be focused on and all of us should be focused on.
Yeah, I think that it's fascinating to me that not only – do you get the hottest guy in this coaching cycle? But you also take something away from a division opponent. You also get a guy who has game planned for the other two teams in the division and knows, you know, the offense in Detroit very well. So I just think that it helps you in terms of the kind of, you know, the nature of just being in a division and the four teams in a division.
Yeah, and you know what? When you have a scouting report, you stand up there, you bring in your personnel people, and they tell the entire team about the roster you're playing. So my point is, when Detroit's playing Chicago, somebody walks into that room I like a Ryan Poles' assistant, for example. That's the way we did it at the Dolphins and the Bears. And they're going to stand up there because they know these guys better than anybody. They've been following them since college. And they're going to stand up there and they're say, this is what Odunze does well, guys. This guy's got great speed. He's got this. His hands, strengths and weaknesses. It goes through the whole team. So he's got knowledge of the Bears roster before he shows up because they're playing him. And I'll tell you what, and I think he made a great point. Let's not go crazy like we did last year, okay? You know, coach of the year and flus and playoffs and winning the division. But let me tell you, I've lived it. The NFL can turn the arrow up as fast as it can turn the arrow down, mm-hmm. okay? And you look at Washington, new owner, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator at Washington, and they're still playing, guys, in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm saying this in a positive light, that if we get the right combination and things click and we stay healthy, you know, things can turn positive real quick, but let's not go too far. You know, I mean, we got to draw a line there.
So, Dave, it was 32 years ago this week that you were the hot coordinator that picked the Bears over the Giants, and everybody around the league, you know, looked at you making that move, going to become a head coach after being a coordinator. It's a giant step. It's a different feel. The first time you get behind the microphone at the press conference, which isn't a determinant of how successful you're going to be, but it is the first time where you evaluated differently. How much anxiety do you think Ben Johnson has before he does that? And what advice would you lend him based on your own experience?
Well, things are different, David. I think I signed 4 years for about $400,000 a year, okay? So things are different. and that was the top money anywhere in the NFL. I mean, I had five offers, and the Bears paid the top dollar, okay, just so you know how things have changed. But you know what? I think I was very confident I think because of winning the Super Bowl and building a team from scratch up, and you know, I had the national championships at Pitt, national championships. So in my mind, I had a plan of what we had to do to get the Bears to the Super Bowl. You know, so was I nervous? Yes. No question about it. No question about it. But, you know, the one part of advice, if I was going to talk to Ben today, I would tell him this, guys. After I got the Bears job, I went out and played golf with Coach Chuck Knoll, who had just retired from the Steelers. And on every hole, you know, I'm like, I had a question for him, a different question. And he told me at the end, we're sitting there having a beer afterwards, and he says, Dave, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you take this job as the head coach, you're going to see holes and leaks in the dam. Oh, God, I got this on special teams. I got this with my offensive line. I can't get to the passer on defense. But he says, stop right there. Why did you get this job? And I said, well, I got the job because of my defensive expertise and the history, you know, all the years I've been calling defenses. And he says, keep the main thing. You go in there and you focus every ounce of energy you got on doing the best job with that Bears defense as you can. And I'm being humble about this, but we ended up in the top five. I think that we were terrible on offense, but we were a top five, top 10 team in defense. So, and he says, that's what you got to do. And then you move on from there. You can't do everything in one day. So I would tell Ben Johnson the same thing. Ben, you were hired here for your offensive and quarterback expertise. Put everything you got into that. And you will have time to get, if the offense clicks and Caleb's goes on, we'll fix these other things, you know. So don't think you're going to do everything, and don't try to do everything, you know, right off the bat, because it's physically impossible to do. So I was thinking about that last night. If I was going to talk to him, what would I tell him? And I think that would be the first thing that would come to mind. Keep the main thing, why you got hired. And what Bear fans and what ownership, what do they expect to see out of you?
Great answer.
Yeah, it's a really good answer. And I think that means he's got to fix the offensive line, right? I mean, you think about the Bears and what they have. There are a lot of different issues. But if you want to get the quarterback going, and, you know, Dave, what I love is this guy runs a lot of play action. That's something the Bears can use, for God's sake. It'll help the quarterback. It'll reduce the number of sacks, hopefully. But they got to get that offensive line right.
Yeah, and Detroit, I mean, that's a good point, Molly. I mean, we got one number one pick. Detroit's got three top number one draft picks in that offensive line.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, they you know, this past year, they were sixth in the National Football League running the ball. I love it. They were second in passing, and they were plus 11 in turnovers, you know. So those things all kind of fit, and they're up under center a lot, which I love. And it's almost going to be a year, mark this down, where Caleb takes a step backwards to take two steps forward. In other words, let's use the, and I'm going to use this for example because I know it, I lived it. Let's use the Bill Belichick theory with Tom Brady. Run the ball, play action pass, a few movement passes, play defense and special teams until your quarterback keeps taking those steps. And I think that's what they did at Detroit. They were a top five scoring team, guys, the last 3 years. And that's another point that I think we got to bring up with Ben Johnson. He's not been a coordinator, guys, for 6 weeks, okay, or for 1 year. He's not a one-year wonder type guy. We've seen his body of work over 3 years at Detroit. We've got a chance to evaluate him. We know that he likes to run the ball. He likes to be balanced. As you mentioned, Mully, he likes to go play action passes. That, in my humble opinion, that is what Caleb Williams needs as much as anything to get him to move forward as far as his progression as a quarterback. And I think we got a guy that's done that and has done it and had success doing it.
That's a terrific point, Dave. I look at also a 38-year-old first-time head coach. The first news we get about his staff is that it looks like he's going to bring Dennis Allen, who's a former head coach at two different stops, to be the defensive coordinator. Besides the obvious look at the scheme being the same, so there might be some good compatibility with the talent on your roster, it says to me that Ben Johnson realizes the need for experience on that staff. What was your reaction to the news that maybe Dennis Allen is coming to Chicago, and what are your expectations for this defense now?
I love it. I mean, I don't know Dennis Allen personally much. I think I met him one time. I think it'd be a great hire, okay, number one off the top. The second point that I would say is, okay, Ben, there's different ways these head coaches do it. And make sure, even though you are probably going to be the play caller and obviously the offensive, you know, all that stuff, you please, as a head coach, during the game, you have to stay on top of the flow of the game. If it's the fourth quarter, you are hiring Dennis Allen to stop people. That's when you hire a defensive coordinator. When you hire an offensive coordinator, it's to score points. And if it's the fourth quarter of a game and you feel like you got the game in hand and it's third down and long and Dennis calls a blitz and you don't want to take a chance of giving up the home run, you've got to be able to step in and say, hey Dennis, and you can do it the right way. Dennis, let's play zone here. And that's the only thing that I would make clear. And I've had a lot of coordinators and I just said, hey, you call every play. I don't give a damn. But if I say I want to run the ball, you tell me what the best run is. If I say I want to, hey, let's take a shot deep, I don't know what the best deep pass is. That's your job. But let's take a shot and throw it deep. I think a lot of young head coaches, you know, kind of turn everything over and don't stay in the flow of the game and it hurts you. Or going for it on fourth down or not, whatever, you know. I don't know. I mean, that's a bigger deal that costs coaches games than what people make it out to be when you have a play caller on one side of the ball that's totally focused in. Dave, I don't know. Did that make sense what
yes,
I'm trying
it did.
To say?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
no, it's a good point.
You know, or run a trick play. You know, maybe, if the head coach wants to run a trick play, he's the head coach, he can do it. But as an example, in that playoff game, you want to run the reverse pass. If Dan Campbell didn't like it, Dan has the prerogative to say, hey, Ben, no trick play right now. Let's just run the ball. As an example. You know what I mean? So, anyway, it's I hope he gets that done. I'll leave it at that.
Dave, we got 30 seconds left. What was your thought on the national championship game?
I thought that Notre Dame competed, played as hard as they could play. I was impressed how they threw the ball, made some plays at the end. Ohio State was the best team. They should have won the national championship. So I'm happy for Ohio State. I'm a Big Ten guy. Let's face it. I mean, what am I going to say? You know, I love working at the Big, but I do. I know Ryan Day well, and I'm glad that they won. He has brought that team through a lot of adversity. You know, a couple tough losses, particularly the Michigan one, and he beats him. He earned it. I mean, you beat Tennessee, guys.
Yeah.
You beat, help me out here, who else did they beat on the way?
Texas
last game.
They beat Texas?
Yeah.
Thank you. You know what I mean? So they earned the opportunity, and they came through and got it done. I think they deserve it.
Oregon, too.
Yeah, they beat the Oregon. Oh, yeah. Group of teams they beat.
Great stuff,
Great
Dave.
Stuff, Dave. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys, good talking to you.
That is Coach Wanstead. That is unbelievable.
He was on fire today, though.
Oh, he's so
right.
That was
great insight.
That was really good.
You know, really good stuff.
He's always great. All right. Mully and Haw, we're going to get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, to me, it's the most critical thing about coordinators on both sides of the ball. And so many of them just don't get it. You know, you've got to be able to adjust for what you see out there. You know, when something comes up that you haven't seen out of that team before, you got to be able to change gears and attack at a different level, be able to put together at the last second, and the guy's got to be able to execute and understand it. He does that. Not many guys do that. How many guys have the ability to adjust? They're stuck in what they do, and we'll just do a better kind of dumb stuff. But he doesn't do that. He's, you know, he's that guy that can be very creative, switch gears. Oh, they're blitzing us now, first and second down. It's something they haven't done in the past. Oh, here's what we got to do, you know. He has an answer for it, and that's incredibly important, and not very many guys in the league do that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the voice of Mike Martz.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike was consulted by Ben Johnson when he was down in Miami.
Ben Johnson was a young assistant coach on the Dolphins staff, not the play caller necessarily, but a guy that turned to Mike Martz for advice and maybe some consultation. Mike Martz really was Mike Martz the Ben Johnson of his era, or was Ben Johnson the Mike Martz of his era? The one thing that Ben Johnson hasn't done is win a Super Bowl as a play caller like Mike Martz did.
Mike Martz, I, you know I got a lot of respect for Mike Martz.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like a rogue coordinator. He was running stuff that other people weren't running.
No doubt about it, but he was an innovator.
Players in peril.
Yes.
I'm just saying, he was seven step drops every time out. It
totally
was crazy.
True. But people talked about that offense in ways that people marvel about the Lions offense.
Right.
The creativity is the common link. And I think it's interesting to hear Mike March now talk about a younger Ben Johnson. We don't want to say young. He's still young. He's still very young. But getting Mike March's stamp of approval, interesting. That was a good guess. Great insight. And you look around the league, and it'd be very difficult to find anybody say anything but positive things when you're evaluating Ben Johnson, the offensive mind.
Oh, no shadow.
There's no question that the Bears now have an opportunity to upgrade their offense productivity and to get the most out of their quarterback.
Did Jay Cutler ever ask you to pass a message on to Mike March?
That's what you think of, isn't it?
I can't help
it. You can't help it.
It's a great Cutler moment, and it's a great...
Thank you,
yeah,
Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
Well played.
Let's try Cullen. Cullen is in Northfield. Hey, Cullen.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Happy New Year. Listen, here's the deal. I wanted to start the new year on a positive note. Hey, be more positive. Think more positive. I was excited when I heard we actually landed Ben Johnson, but then all the gloomy doomies start creeping into my brain about how this organization knows how to make anything get screwed up. And I start going dark, and maybe it's because Notre Dame didn't pass the Great House for three quarters, and that ticked me off. He was incredible in late in that game, and I have all these bad feelings, but the Bears just terrify me with how they're going to potentially butcher this guy.
Colin, don't connect those dots. Don't fall into that trap, okay? Right now, this is as much of a cynicism-free zone as you will enter as a Bears fan. This is the guy that you wanted. This is the guy everyone was clamoring for. This is, frankly, the guy that everybody with a vacancy wanted, too. So enjoy this. Don't link it to the Notre Dame disappointment. The two things are not connected. But thanks for the phone call.
That's hysterical. The doomy gloomies sink in. Let's try Michael. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning, gentlemen. Just want to give a shout-out to, finally, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, whoever was in charge for hiring this phenomenal coaching hire and everything like that. Hopefully we can go back into becoming the serious Bears how we were in 2018. And hopefully we get Dennis Allen or even Robert Saleh, I would love. But Dennis Allen will be a great pickup. And what is your prediction for next season now with this hire? And what is the most likelihood that we will draft Jenty now?
Michael, that's a very good question about the expectations. Let's wait to see who they get in free agency and who they draft. I don't think they're going to draft a running back in the top 10. Ashton Jenty is a tremendous talent. I don't see them going that route. I think it's going to be offensive line or offensive line or offensive line.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I suppose there could be a pass rusher that would attract their attention.
Sure,
I'm just saying, potentially, whether it's an interior or an outside pass rusher. I don't know this draft class. I haven't spent a lot of time with it yet, but they've got the 10th pick in the draft, and they've got two high second-round picks. And I would imagine help on both sides of the line in the first three picks.
Let's hope they recognize the severity of how bad it was and how much of crisis mode this offensive line is in right now. So Ryan Poles has got to recognize that and make the right calls. I wanted to ask you a question before we get back to the phone lines. When you look at what this means for Ryan Poles' future, what does it say, without knowing yet about the scope of Ben Johnson's power, what do you think it says about Ryan Poles' power base at Hallis Hall? And do you think that this inevitably could lead to the contract extension that we both have kind of bristled at, but now may be closer to reality?
Yeah, I think a year is a long time. I'm just quoting the team president. I don't know about that, David.
You kind of hope not, though, right?
No, it's not. I just don't know that that's related. And I don't know that you need to be celebrating this hire like you hit it out of the park. You know what I'm saying? Like, a year is a long time. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see how they look at training camp. Let's see how the two guys get along. I think you got one guy that's signing a long-term deal. He's up there today, and I think the presser is tomorrow. But we'll get a good feel for how long he is scheduled to be here, and then we'll get a better feel for how the two guys match together.
It's interesting because we have to acknowledge that we both thought, and it was a common thought, that prevailed when you're talking about this, that yeah. Ryan Poles would be the impediment that would keep Ben Johnson away.
And I got to tell you, like, I wasn't on board with just getting rid of him. You were the one calling for his head all the time. But no, I'm kidding. But I said if he was going to be an impediment, then that was a major problem and they got to do something. And then over the weekend, I was hearing that he was an impediment and that,
I talked to somebody on Saturday that suggested that the Raiders were ready to pounce.
That's what I heard too.
For $13 million a year.
Well, I forget the guy's name from the Washington Commanders, who was a former scout with Detroit. I think he was in Detroit for 22 years or something. He's an assistant GM guy, and they interviewed him, and it was like that was considered a package deal. And I was still kind of asking, even when people were telling me this, well, who are the Raiders getting as quarterback? Who's going to quarterback that team?
That's right, because Lance Newmark was the guy that they were interviewing. Lance Newmark. He had a connection with Ben Johnson.
Yes.
And that looked like they had cleared the way for their bright young coach, pay him all the money. Tom Brady gets his guy. But the difference was, and the difference is, the Bears had Caleb Williams and the Raiders do not. The Raiders did not have a young quarterback to build with and around and win because of. And Ben Johnson felt like the Bears did have that guy, which is also interesting when you compare his other opportunity down in Jacksonville. To me, this says that Ben Johnson looked at Caleb Williams as having a brighter future than Trevor Lawrence, because he could have gone down there too, right?
Yeah.
So if he picked the team because of the quarterback, the Bears win that one, and the comparison to the other jobs really wasn't a comparison when you consider the potential of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a really good hire, and I think it caught a lot of us by surprise just because the league was rife with rumors about the fact that he wanted his own personnel guy. He wanted somebody that was going to get – now, you know, here's the thing that kind of blows my mind is they had a Zoom call with him. And now, you know, I imagine there was plenty of back channel conversation between the agent and the Bears, etc. But they had a Zoom conversation, excuse me, a virtual conversation with him. I thought that they would bring him in for an interview this week, and if at that point they wouldn't let him out of the building, right? They tried to hire him. Well, he's reached an agreement and he's in the building right now, or heading there today, I should say. And I think that's fascinating. Are they going to work out some of that language? Do they understand that, or have they already come to an agreement on it?
That's really surprising that they would make that kind of commitment without having met him in person.
Is this his first time in the building today?
It would have to be. It would have to be.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's being pointed out and explored when you look at the shared history, we mentioned the fact that Jeff King, the director of player personnel for the Bears, as a player had an agent that was Rick Smith, that is Ben Johnson's agent.
Yes.
They might have given them a trust element that didn't exist, or maybe we overlooked. And also, not that this is a big thing, but it has also been pointed out when you look at the shared history of Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, both were graduate assistants at Boston College. I think Poles was a graduate assistant in 2008, and Ben Johnson succeeded him in 2009 and 2010, but both have that kind of commonality. May have guys on that staff in that era that they relied on or both knew. So maybe that familiarity helped them bridge the gap when they did meet via Zoom.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Rick Smith is also agent to Dan Campbell. He also has Dan Quinn. So he's got some NFL head coaches.
He had a very good year.
He's had a very good year. That's fair. Okay. Let's get back to the phone lines. Tony is in the western suburbs. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah. So this, for us as a fan, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for Poles. It's a win-win for the players. I think this guy being through the ringer with Detroit ups, downs, and more ups than downs, you know you are what you practice. And if he's a winner there, he's going to be a winner here. I think he's going to show leadership to the players to calm them down, because a calm player performs way better than somebody that's nervous and unsure, like our players ended up. It was almost like mutiny on the Bounty with our players talking about their coaches. That's not going to happen with this guy. I just have a lot of confidence that we're going to go where we need to go, because this guy knows how to get there.
It's a great call, Tony.
Yep, thanks, Tony.
Good
that's
optimism.
Nice. That's
smart way to look at it.
Positive.
You hope that he has a kind of confidence and commands a kind of respect immediately, because he's going to be a head coach. He's never done that before, but you hope that his track record brings a little bit of patience and respect whenever he addresses a team for the first time. He is a math whiz.
He's a math major and a computer guy.
Yes. He that developed some software back when he was, I think, with the Dolphins as a young assistant that was adopted by NFL coaches. And you think you got a lot of respect for him. What would he be doing if he wasn't a head coach?
Probably a dating app.
Probably so.
Come on. All right. We got Mike Florio next. We're going to get Mike's opinion. Mullinaw on the score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
Do we get beat,
beat?
Do we get beat, beat?
Boom, beat, beat! What's up, Mr. Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio when he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
We are celebrating the Bears hiring a new head coach. Pretty surprising that they managed to get the hot candidate on the market. They managed to move quickly. They allegedly are putting together a star-studded coaching staff. All of this, you know, they're pouring money into it, and that's a good thing for those of us that follow the Bears.
Yeah, I'm told it was a gut feeling for Ben Johnson that ultimately drove him to Chicago, but nothing moves the gut like cold hard cash. And the number making the rounds is $13 million a year. That has not been refuted by anyone from either side of the equation. So again, that's what I started to hear from people who are in a position to maybe have access to the information. $13 million a year is about $5 million a year over entry level for a new head coach. And when you're looking for alignment with the front office and there isn't a change in GM, which some thought would be necessary, there isn't any special power given to Ben Johnson over and above being the head coach, nothing says alignment like making a massive financial commitment. It tells you what you need to know. It tells you where you fit in the pecking order, because there's no way Poles is making $13 million a year. That's not general manager money. So I think that becomes an attraction, as does the presence of Caleb Williams. And I think there's a certain amount of confidence that some would say borders on delusion, that he can go toe-to-toe with the Lions, that he knows how they make their sausage, and he's going to come down to Chicago, and he's going to be the new sausage king of Chicago. Sorry, Abe Froman. And he's going to turn the Bears into a winner. And, you know, 40 years after the 85 Bears, we're seeing an unprecedented commitment to offense by the franchise.
How surprised were you that the Bears stepped up financially? And what does that, in your mind, do to their stature and reputation around the league?
Well, you know, one of my first thoughts was Ben Johnson can thank Kalen Kaler of ESPN.com for that scorching article last week that really kind of blew up the way the Bears have done business over the years, Trace Armstrong's influence on the front office. I'm told that had nothing to do with it. Now, I don't know why anyone connected to it from either side would say it did. Bottom line, it's not a Trace Armstrong candidate. It's a significant financial expenditure. But it all goes back to me to the initial work that I did after Matt Eberflus was fired on Black Friday. It was clear that the Bears were turning the page on the way they'd done things in the past. Because in the past, they would have kicked the can to the end of the season. Even as the ship inevitably leaked news of Eberflus's eventual termination, and that would have been out there, and he would have been hearing about it, family would have been hearing about it, Bears would have been hearing about it. They just knew when they're done, rip the Band-Aid off and move on. Yeah, it was a little clunky on that Friday, but not like it would have been in the past. And that was the first tangible sign to those currently in the organization that ownership is changing. This is the latest sign that ownership is changing. They're doing what they need to do. And the key all along, pair up Caleb Williams with a young offensive coach that they can join at the hip, 10, 15 years together like Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and off we go into a new age of Bears football. We'll see how it plays out, but it could have gone a lot worse in the coaching search, and I can't imagine it going a lot better than it did, assuming Johnson can coach. That's the other thing, too. You make a coordinator head coach, it's kind of like the same risk you take when you use a first-round pick on a quarterback. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't.
Michael, you look at the idea that Dennis Allen supposedly coming in as the defensive guy. I think Adam Schefter had a report that Johnson has had time on this and is putting together a star-studded staff. Not only are the Bears investing money in the head coach, they're investing money in a coaching staff, apparently.
No offense to Dennis Allen, and I know that those of us who are in the information trade need to trade favors to get information, but star-studded, I'm not ready to go that far. Dennis Allen has done well enough twice as a defensive coordinator to become a head coach, then flamed out as a head coach. He could end up doing very well, but star-studded, you know, it's just funny. Whether it's him, whether it's Rappaport, whether it's other, there's a lot of hyperbole that makes their way into the tweets because that's how we keep the pump primed for information. Not me, they. So anyway, yeah, Darren Rizzi linked to the Bears now. But look, and this shows that it is a distraction for any coach, even if he didn't have any interviews last week. You're spending your time in advance of the interview and then after the interview lining up your staff. It's not just, 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. You have to put in time. You have to make phone calls. The first test of a new coach's credibility with the organization is whether and to what extent he can deliver on the names that he said he would bring if he gets the job. So my guess is he told the Bears, the Jaguars, and the Raiders, I'll get Dennis Allen. It would have been a little awkward for Dennis Allen to go back to the Raiders since he was fired by them as head coach, but Vance Joseph went back to the Broncos. Gunther Cunningham once went back to the Chiefs. It's not impossible. But you put together the staff, you tell the owners and the general managers who your staff would be, and now you mobilize to put it all in motion and get that staff under contract.
30 seconds, Mike. Is it exaggeration to think the Bears with Ben Johnson can make a run at the playoffs next year?
No, it's not exaggeration at all. You got to take care of business in the division. You know, this year, the Lions, Vikings, and Packers out of the division were 29-4 in the regular season. 0-3 in the playoffs. Didn't work out so well for the Lions, Vikings, and Bears. Or not Bears, but Packers. Lions, Vikings, Packers. So, you know, the schedule is going to be harder for everyone next year. But the Bears know that division well. Johnson knows that division well. I think they can compete. And who knows? Crazier things have happened. Worst to first, we see it from time to time, but the Bears are right there. And if Johnson gets the most out of Caleb Williams, who could throw like Jared Goff, but move better than Goff ever has, the Bears could turn it around quickly.
Thanks, Mike. Great stuff as always. We've got Jared Payton next on The Score.